Good afternoon. You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God this afternoon on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. I think we all wonder how and when the problems of this earth will end and who will solve them and when. We have been speaking about this very subject lately on the Way It Ought to Be program, and we will continue this theme today. How would you solve the earth problems if you had the power to do so? Now, in a sense, that's a foolish question, because no mortal human being has that kind of power or wisdom. But just maybe we should be concerned as to who has the power and wisdom to solve our problems and when. We touched on this in two previous programs, that it is Jesus Christ and only He that can and will solve the earth problems at His return to set up and establish the kingdom and the government of God on this earth. And He isn't coming back to this earth as a docile little lamb or a babe in the manger, but as a conquering king to put down all authority, Satan's and man's rule over this earth. Notice the prophecy about Christ back in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Did you notice that, my friends? It says the government will be upon his shoulders. And that's exactly what Christ is going to do when he returns to his earth. He's going to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the governor of this entire earth. We've brought that out in previous programs. And it says his name will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Yes, he's the one that's going to bring peace to this earth and solve the problems of mankind. Verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, David's throne was on earth, wasn't it? And it still is. And Christ is going to take over and sit on that throne and rule the world with a rod of iron. In our previous programs on this topic, we quoted several other scriptures to this effect, such as you find in Luke 1, John 18, Revelation 11. Now today, let's look at some new scriptures here. Let's look at Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." It's very plain in the Bible that Christ is going to return, and he's going to return at the right time to save mankind from annihilation. Many other scriptures tell us of Christ's return to this earth, and that he will dwell on this earth and rule it with a rod of iron, meaning authority. Notice a scripture back in Isaiah chapter 2, that's Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, and this is speaking of the return of Jesus Christ, and you get the feeling that Christ means business about taking over this earth and putting down rebellion. Isaiah 2, beginning in verse 10, "Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty." Now this is the day that Christ begins to pour out his wrath upon this earth, and we know when you're talking about the day of the Lord that it probably actually lasts at least 1 year when Christ begins to pour out plagues on this earth, giving mankind a chance and an opportunity to repent. He'll pour out plagues one at a time, just as he did on Egypt back there in the 1400s BC, giving them an opportunity to repent. They didn't. And this earth will not either, according to your Bible. It says, "Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humble. The haughtiness of man will be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." Yes, God is going to put down all authority, and he is going to be the authority of his earth at that time. Verse 12, For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the rocks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon the high hills that are lifted up, speaking of nations that's going to come down to where they should be. Verse 15, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the beautiful slopes, just indicating to us and telling us that Christ is going to be the one king, the one God over all the entire earth, the one governor over the entire earth, and everyone is going to know that. There isn't going to be any doubt in anyone's mind. Yes, Christ is going to solve the problems of this earth by force, my friends. As I said, he isn't coming back as a docile little lamb or a babe in the manger. Verse 17 says, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Yes, everyone is going to know who the boss is in that day. But the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into holes of the rocks, and into caves of the earth, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Now, it's going to pay big dividends to be on God's side at that time. As a matter of fact, it pays good dividends right now to be on God's side. Verse 20, in that day a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each for himself to worship, to the mold and to the bats. Yes, indeed. You know, all that you put your trust in today, that is, if it's anything other than God and God's ways, isn't going to do you any good in that day. Verse 21 says, they will go into the clefts of the rocks and to the crags of the rugged rocks from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Verse 22 says, sever yourself from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? In other words, God says, don't put your trust in man, but put your trust in God. Well, I'm sure we began to realize who will solve the problems of this earth and how and when. Notice in Revelation 19, beginning verse 11, speaking of the same time here, the time that Christ begins to intervene in this world's affairs and returns to this earth, then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Yes, Christ is going to put down the rebellion of mankind by force. That's the only way that he can bring peace to this earth, is to put down Satan and his demons, bind them for 1,000 years, and then put mankind in his place. And that's exactly what he's going to do. Verse 12, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Yes, Christ is coming, returning to this earth, to put down all authority, and he is going to rule this earth with a rod of iron. Mankind is going to be forced to submit to God. He himself treads a winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Yes, as I said, Christ is coming as a conquering king to take his kingdom, this earth. Verse 16, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. This is speaking of the very day now that Christ descends and stands on the Mount of Olives. It's speaking of the Battle of Armageddon that Christ is going to fight, and he is going to win, my friends. Verse 20, then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And notice verse 21. And the rest were killed with a sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Notice Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 4, and other scriptures here in Zechariah, which is speaking of this battle or the war that Christ is going to fight when he returns to put down the rebellion of mankind and to put Satan and his demons in their place. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem, speaking of the battle of Armageddon here. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Yes, the descent of Jesus Christ. At that very time, Christ is going to put down the rebellion of mankind and force mankind to begin to obey his laws, to live by the instructions that God has given all these years in his Bible that we have rejected and that we are still rejecting and will be right up to that time. It says, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Now notice verse 9. And the Lord shall be the king over all the earth. Notice that, my friends. Listen to this. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Yes, God the Father is sending Jesus Christ back to this earth, and he's sending him back at the right split second to intervene and save mankind from himself and force man to learn his way. God goes on and tells us in this chapter that if they don't obey him and come up to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Tabernacles from year to year, that there will be no rain on their land, and that will be the plague of anyone that doesn't obey God. So it won't take mankind long to get the point. It says, in that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one. If you would like to know more about this topic, then request our free booklets, Why Were You Born? And our free article, The World of Tomorrow. And all you need do to receive those booklets, just call us toll free 1-800-611-8080 and ask for your free booklet, Why Were You Born? And The World of Tomorrow. They will help you to understand why you are here and where you're going and what it's going to be like in the world tomorrow when Christ does establish his kingdom. And we'll get into that in a future program. So just call us at 1-800-611-8080. You may also hear this program on WXAN 103.9 FM, 4 p.m. weekdays, Ava, Illinois. Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle, and we'll see you next week with The Way It Ought to Be.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.